Go for it. Go for it.
So we can get moving on this thing.
I'm digging it. I'm digging it.
Yeah, I know. I dig my own grave.
Let's hit it up for a hot hour tonight.
Okay, that sounds good.
Because I think that an hour and 40 minutes.
No, that's way too much.
It's going to make me a sleepy boy.
I got stuff to do tonight. I can't be there for an hour. Like fighting the man.
No, you're not.
No, I'm going to take a nap.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Go pick up my stepkid with my fiance.
Ew.
Right? I know. Kids. Ew.
Do that tonight?
Yeah, he's with his dad right now.
Gross time to go get it.
I know. It's, I don't.
What a not good time to go get him, you know?
Look, my whole life is full of not good times.
You gotta tell him to walk home, man.
You know, you know.
Put some muscle on those legs.
Wow, that's going to be a challenge.
Just tell him to walk home. Be like, it's a fun time to do it. It's beautiful weather outside. Yeah. Luke, for crying out loud, carried around like a puppet on his back for basically his whole training. And that's got to suck.
He also, in this book, walked like, I don't know, 3 days to get to a town or something.
Well, you know, I wouldn't know.
Why not?
Because I didn't read.
Sorry, I touched my face. COVID-19.
You're fine. I'm going to play with a pen this whole time. I dropped it.
It doesn't even matter. Nobody cares that COVID-19 exists anymore. They just don't care. Our whole state's just opened up. Everybody's like, guess what? It's been an interesting couple of weeks.
It has been.
So I hope that everybody had a chance to actually get out there and listen to some other content aside from
I hope so too, man. There's a lot out there. Like there, I didn't even, when we wrote that thing up, know what the proper suggestion was to make when it comes to that either, because like I was, oh great, I've already got a cat up here.
Cool.
Because I was also in the process of learning and trying to find stuff to listen to as well, and didn't want to make one suggestion or the other. And I sort of felt like others could go through that process on their own too.
It's not our job as a podcast to educate other people on what podcasts they should be listening to. Like I went out and I checked out some other stuff. And I mean, to be honest with you, I can't say that with the way the week was that I made it through any new content any better than anybody else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Also, as two people that work in education, we're being tasked with rewriting how our aspects of the educational system work in order to be more aligned with some of the things that we believe in, which is really actually really cool now.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work, and that work is worth it, but it's still a lot of work, and it's eaten up a lot of our last 2 weeks.
Yes. Yeah. I've been just constantly on conferences and calls trying to literally saying that, right? Like identifying that it is, for all the time that work was not done in the past. And I'm going to put my hand up and say, absolutely. There's plenty of times where like there was a time to do this work. And I thought like changing perspectives or like, you know, like looking, especially as an English teacher at literature canon, right? Which is predominantly white and predominantly male, and looking at it and going, oh yeah, I guess maybe next year I'll switch that out. And I've been piecemealing it here and there, but also there's this level of comfort and it's privilege. There's this level of comfort and privilege that you fall into where you're like, yeah, I'll teach this one, I'll change this one. And then the next year I'll switch this out. But now realizing it truly is something that I needed to have been doing earlier and do immediately. So, you know, I've been constantly talking about how in dealing with the fact that our student body is going to want to see a more powerful representation of themselves and what we're reading and what we're seeing in the classroom, then I need to make that move instantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that means discovering new stuff that otherwise I didn't know about before. Discovering new books, new stories, new poetry that I didn't know about. And honestly, bringing stuff into 2020 and 2021. Sometimes it's not the time to hear from people in the 1700s.
Yeah. That's, I'm not trying to be a dick, but it's one of the reasons why I always bitch about Shakespeare and how we spend so much time learning Shakespeare. I don't need to hear any more about something by some old white dude somewhere. Like, give me somebody else. I know maybe there's not a lot of theater from that era, but there's sure a lot of theater as we move along in time frames. And that's something that is going to be really important. And it's going to be, I don't want to say it's going to be tough. Yeah. It's going to be a tough fight. Like for me this coming school year, mm-hmm. it's going to be a tough fight because I'm going to have to go between the desire to only produce something big. And instead of that, pick something that is
relevant
and
right.
nurturing, you know, it's socially nurturing.
Yes.
As opposed to entertainment, just entertainment.
And right.
We live in a world where my whole world is about entertainment. This, my job, our side gig with Deer in the Spotlight, like that's all very much entertainment oriented, but there's a time and a place where you have to look at it and go, I need to nurture my intellectual side and the soul, as opposed to the side of me that is just about watching stuff and having fun.
Right. Right. And finding that balance, right, is really important.
Yeah.
I keep saying right a lot today.
Right.
Finding that balance is immensely important. We are put into a position where, and people should be called out. I love being called out on, and I mean that, I love being called out on areas where I could improve, especially in curriculum. Mm-hmm. I had an awesome opportunity earlier this year, and I'm really glad that it happened earlier this year, to get together with a few of our students of color and to talk about some of the changes that we were looking to make in our English department about books that we felt were more relevant to our current era. Because if you try to push back against like a professorial collegiate perspective of literature, they're going to, I mean, you're going to get so many older white guys who are going to push to have it just be the stuff that they're experts in. And that's going to fall back on a lot of these old tropes and a lot of these honestly harmful pieces of work. If we look at something, I love it, but also recognize its problematic qualities, something like To Kill a Mockingbird, which while it expresses essential values, this is maybe not the right time to read or analyze something written by a white woman about a black man put into a situation where he is criminalized by an entire Southern community. Is that really mm-hmm. the proper way to give voice to people who are marginalized? And if we are incorporating that in the classroom, if we are reading something like that, then we need to read it in this context of 2021, right? Like, where are the problems in it? Why is this a problematic reading at this moment? While at the same time, identifying students' need to be represented while not inadvertently microaggressing or causing any kind of further trauma, right? Mm-hmm. Giving them a voice and an opportunity to feel empowered and to feel the classroom's a safe space. And that's, I want to do that. Like I literally sent an email to a bunch of my other fellow teachers and said, I am ready to do this. And I'm happy to be on the front lines of work like this in the classroom, because honestly, sometimes I don't trust others to do it. Yeah. I'm ready to have those conversations. I'm there for it. Like, I want to do better. So we all should want to do better. And I almost feel afraid putting that in the hands of people who aren't me, because they're going to get defensive.
Yeah. They really don't need to. You can't do all the work. You can fight, and you can fight as hard as you can, but there's a point at which other people's experiences have to be the things that teach them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you see it all over social media, where I live in a world where online, where 97 to 99% of the people that I socialize with in my regular life and in social media are people who believe the same things that I do and are have the same values. So therefore, me getting on social media and posting something about the numbers or posting anything that I think is relevant and right doesn't do a lot, because everybody that I'm friends with that they believe already know that stuff.
Right, right.
And they're already right. doing that work themselves.
Yeah.
So it's on us to combat what I will definitely define as wrong thinking and improper behavior where we can. And that comes down to for some of us, the toughest part is dealing with family members that don't, you know, we live in Maryland. you know, right on the edge of the Mason-Dixon line, which some people argue that that was the South in the Civil War. And we have other, it's strange. Like, and I'm seeing family members who I didn't expect would be on my side of the belief system actually being there, which is awesome. And then Seeing other ones that I'm surprised by. And I'm like, you're better than this.
Yep.
You can do better than this. Come on.
And it's absolutely a time for identifying that. And one of the things that I hate seeing is people being like, well, let's not get political about this. I'm sorry, but being a human and embracing human beings and saying that human beings deserve to be fucking alive is not political.
No, that's being a humanist.
Right. So real quick, if you think for whatever reason out there in podcast-vania, podcast universe, podcast city, wherever you're listening to this from, if you for whatever reason don't think that Black Lives Matter, you need to get the fuck away from our podcast.
Stop listening to this podcast. Don't listen to this right podcast. Now. Just please turn it off. I don't want you anywhere near it. Bye. Do us a favor.
Your face looks great there, by the way.
Smurf.
If you happen to be watching this on the YouTube or on the TikTok or maybe on
the TikTok. I don't have a TikTok.
The Insta, as they call it. Do you call it the young boys?
I
call
use
it
Insta. I still say Insta. I'm like, hey, I was checking out this thing on Insta.
I want to call it something different. I want to call it the Grammo.
Grammo. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I checked it out on Grammo.
I want to call it the Grammo. I also want to call it
You don't have any social media that you actually care about anyway.
No, but I want to call it not the Twitter, but I want to call it
the Birdie Place.
The Birdie Place. The Birdie. Check us out on the Birdie Place and check us out on the Grammo.
I like looking at the stupid birdie noises that our stupid president leaves.
That guy's the worst, man. That guy is
idiot. That's also true. If you like that idiot, you can turn this off right now.
Peace.
If you won't like us.
Peace.
Oh, my face just keeps turning into an ICP Smurf.
No, it's fine. I think it looks really good. I'd rather look at an ICP Smurf than I would honestly at you.
Or William Wallace. I keep turning into William Wallace.
Brutal.
There you go, right there.
Man, you look like you're ready to liberate Scotland, aren't you? You do look like William Wallace.
Thanks, man. Wallace looked like? I bet he had some messed up grill like me.
He might need to go. Wow, I had a thought in my head and it just vanished. He might need to go carve some runes into something to wear a skirt. Hey, can I show you something?
Yes, please.
I'm going to show you something. So remember, you know how your front, your face is all messed up?
Yes.
Check mine out. This is a YouTube official exclusive.
Hey, see, look how great your teeth look.
Yeah, they do. You know why? Because they fixed them up in the front.
Nice. That's what I'm up to next. What did you have done?
I don't know.
Did they put crowns on? Like, did you get crowns done?
No.
They ground down your teeth and glued new teeth in?
Yes, they ground them in and then did filler.
That's crowns.
Then I got crowns.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, let's go back. So, I got crowns.
Nice. Nice. Does that make you the king?
No.
Okay, because we'd have to fight because I'm William Wallace. History boy jokes. Is that guy a prince?
The only prince I remember from History Boy movies was the black prince from Hi, I'm Heath Ledger. I lance people. What's that movie called? Knight's Tale.
Knight's Tale.
And the black prince was actually – who played him? What is his face? He's in so much stuff, but I can't – what is his name?
You
would know him if you saw him. Bad guy in something else. I gotta look him up. The Black Prince. He's like a good guy, right? Actually, like in The Knight's Tale, I think he's a good guy.
I don't remember, bro. You know, I've seen that movie like twice.
Shut up. It's so good.
I mean, it's good if
Knight's Tale.
You're trying to watch something dumb.
No. You need to get the hell out of here, man. Knight's Tale, not Paul Bettany. Rufus Sewell.
I mean, Paul Bettany was definitely in that because
this guy, Rufus Sewell, he was Man of the High Castle. He plays the, okay, yeah.
Look, I didn't watch that, History Nerd. Come on.
He also he played so many people. Let's talk about Star Wars, man. As you can tell, I've got Star Wars on my wall behind me, and I'm ready to go.
Nice. I don't have much Star Wars with me today.
You have Dagobah.
Hold on. I do.
Looks like a real sweaty planet you're on right there.
I'm a sweaty planet. I've got the Death Star with me.
That's a cute Death Star.
Yeah, that's gonna go on the top of my tree this year.
I like it. It's really actually smaller than I thought.
Thanks.
Hey, so I have to apologize to you.
You don't have to, but I'll accept it.
Cue the soft, gentle piano music.
Okay. We'll get some of that in there.
I need to apologize to you.
Why? Didn't read the book?
I did not read the book. I didn't do my homework, and I have no good excuse. The dog didn't eat my book. I have no dog.
I think you have a decent excuse. You're out there attempting to, rewrite an entire curriculum based on the social change that's happening right now, and B, this book's dumb.
But it's not about the book, man. 2 weeks ago, for the last time we recorded, you asked me, Rance, what's up with your life? And I went on telling you about the most mundane and unnecessary, but to me, humorous thing that had happened.
I don't even remember what it was. That's how much I pay attention.
I don't know. And then in turn, buddy, I steamrolled right over you and I didn't even ask how you were doing or what you'd been up to.
Has that really been bothering you?
Yeah,
much?
a little bit because it's really rude. It's unbelievably rude to be like, here's everything that I'm doing and it's so unimportant. And then to turn around, just not even ask you about your unimportant bullshit that you're doing.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's it. It's unimportant.
Don't necessarily care what you've not been doing.
Nice.
Actually, I'm going to feel bad about that for the next
Nobody else in the world cares about what you're doing either.
I do. But yeah, I just want to tell you that I felt real bad. Here is my place. I want to open the floor to you to tell me what you've been up to.
Well, aside from the other stuff that we've been doing, I've been doing some research and doing a lot of thinking. There's a lot of good, interesting looking sci-fi and fantasy out there by not white libertarians. I don't mean by libertarians. I mean guys that are not white or libertarian.
Yeah. Like what? I realized something. I need to interrupt you.
Yeah.
Hey, how does our sound sound on your side?
Sounds pretty good as far as I can tell.
Am I coming through okay?
As far as I can tell. Your screen keeps going woo, woo, woo.
Yeah, that's because it's trying to... Well, that's good because I'm on my new setup and guess what I didn't do?
Hit record?
I didn't hit record, so...
Hit record right now and we'll kick it in. Okay.
Right there. Cool. Okay.
Nice. I mean, yeah, that's fine. Whatever, man. Okay. You actually do sound all right over headset this week. You sound way clearer than normal.
Great. Anyway, as you were saying there's a lot of sci-fi out there.
There's a lot of sci-fi and fantasy of quality by people of color, and I'm really interested in that. And the thing is, I was going to suggest doing so for one of our books, but then so here's the dilemma that I have.
Yeah.
This show is about crap. Yeah. It's about reading and suffering through crap. Therefore, I don't think that it would be sincere and right to pick a book by a person of color and go, hey, this is garbage.
Well, maybe we switch it up. Let's brainstorm right now.
Okay.
Like maybe we do special episodes that are actually good pieces of work that we want to highlight, bring attention to, right? Because in the end, you can only do so many episodes. Like we're still highlighting. Now that I think about it, we're still highlighting shitty white authors, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that's part of the joke of the show,
right?
Is that we're highlighting crappy work by crappy
can
white
we find
people.
A way to get do you think we can find a way to get PDFs of these books so people don't have to buy them
of these like these books
yeah the one like well I
the
mean
ones
Alan
that we're
Dean,
reading
yeah especially the really bad ones like Alan Dean Foster. I'm not going to throw this guy under the bus, right? There was nothing about Alan Dean Foster that I identified as really problematic in his political ideology.
No.
So, like, I wouldn't care if somebody goes out and buys that. But, man, Defeated Hugh, I don't want to put money in that guy's pocket.
I've been thinking about maybe looking at some really inexpensive books or free books. Like, there's a lot of free books on Amazon. And I was just kind of like, well, maybe we should make this really inexpensive for our readers. But at the same time, is somebody going to want to read that stuff either?
I don't know.
It's such a hard dilemma. I do think that you're right. Maybe we should take the time, even if we don't read those books, maybe we should take the time to suggest some.
Yeah.
And yeah. just like once a month or so, because I don't have a ton of time to read.
Oh, it's certainly, I mean, I'm gonna be happy to read during the summer. The summer is a great time for me to read. So yeah, I mean, I'm happy to do to look at that, highlight that stuff, right?
Yeah, and say, hey, this is a great book that you should be looking into.
Yeah.
While you're, because at this point, I want people to read along with the books that we're reading, but sometimes I don't want them, maybe we're reading it so they don't waste their damn time on it. Maybe that's what the whole lesson behind this is.
Maybe I didn't waste my time this week to read Splinter of My Mind's Butt.
You know what else I did this week, though, bro?
What'd you do?
Continue with that. I continue my running.
Good
I'm
for you.
Back on the running bandwagon.
Good for you, man.
This is not a statement about. This is only a statement about body positivity. Be any weight that you want to. Look how you want to. Nobody should judge you for that. All bodies are beautiful.
You're beautiful,
man. Personally, thanks. Personally, I haven't been happy with what has happened to my body over the course of quarantine. I got, you know, non-COVID sick. Just a different type, and it put me out of commission, and I got way sort of a little bit, not, I don't want to say this is darker than it should be. I got a little bit depressed at the beginning of all this and really kind of went into a hole, a defensive hole, being scared of what the world was around me. And my partner and I spent a lot of time eating our feelings, and we're both looking at it now like, hey, we've sort of ransacked our bodies for the last 2 months. So now I'm finally back on regimen, the eating regimen, and running again. And I feel so much better already, just the first, you know, month of running. But I'm using this app. I want to say it's not a new app. I've been using this app, and this is not an advertisement, called Zombie Run, where it's basically a story-based app where it's post-apocalypse and you're in this town where you're collecting supplies during the zombie apocalypse, and every once in a while, a zombie will chase you in the app. So the app will just say, hey, there's zombies approaching. You've got to speed up, and you have to speed up. So it's great anaerobic exercise because it adds, it makes you, no matter where you're at, unless you want to lose supplies, which is, because it's a game, you collect supplies to improve your base. But if that zombie catches you, you have to drop a supply to get away from them. So it's fun.
That sounds fun. So do you play the game? Okay, so you say it's a game, mm-hmm. right? So it's on my phone.
Yes.
Speaking of phone, I literally received a text about work. So I run, and then I go back and I put stuff on my phone, like my supply cache or something like that.
Yeah,
buy things with it.
Not really. It's, you sort of have like a, I don't want to say Farmville is not the right term, or SimCity, you have just a little settlement on your phone that you get supplies for, and you get to build that town bigger. It's all aesthetic. There is no function behind it that I can find. It's just, hey, I made my town a little bit bigger. For me, it's more about the training right now.
Yeah.
I'm doing their 5K app. I'm just trying to get back to the point where I was before I stopped running, where I can hit like 3 miles without stopping.
Yeah.
And
are you still like going, stopping?
Yeah. The training app is very much regimented. Go, stop. And it's this week, it was like each week the it changes a little bit. Last week it was very much a matter of like run, walk, do a knee lift, run, walk, do a knee lift. This week there was some of that, but then it was walk faster. And they made you save up your energy till the end, where they gave you a 15-minute long free run.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah, it's just running, and some people are like, that's dumb running.
No.
But it's an interesting way to keep motivated, and motivation had been tough for me.
And you run in the way that is most suited to your needs at that time. There is absolutely no, the last time that I hit the pavement, the last time I smacked the asphalt, the last time I clapped the sidewalk,
asphalt.
The last time I hit the rocks, the last time I bumped the bricks.
That's too many.
I just want
to just hear television upstairs.
It's fine.
Sorry, bro. I didn't mean to shut you down. That was
cool.
Rude of me.
It's cool, man. It's fine. You know.
You were talking about last time you hit the bricks.
Last time I I was trying to think of one more, but I couldn't figure out anymore.
So I'm glad I stopped you then.
I managed to get about 2 miles in, and then I just basically leaned on the side of the road and dry heaved. So, you know, that was where I was at. Man. Which is, this is coming from somebody who 6 months ago I did a half marathon and I was fine. Like, I was done and I was like, that was it? And
that
I ran the whole time.
Goes away quick.
It really vanishes.
Which is how, I don't know how people in this book can do the amazing feats of running and whatever else that they do. The only, I want to move on because we should talk about the book. We're almost 30 minutes into the podcast. And yeah, we talked about some interesting stuff and some good stuff, but we're all here for Star Wars, right?
Star Wars, Alan Dean Foster.
I mean, you're not here for that because you didn't
Sphincter,
do the reading.
Sphincter of the Mind's Eye. I'm sorry I didn't read. I just didn't read. So let's talk about it, man. Are you going to guide me through this?
I am. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about it, I think.
Cool.
I'd like to see if you can properly guess some things that happen in the book.
I would love that.
Okay.
So sort of like crash my own personal knowledge of Star Wars and how Star Wars media should be formed against how it was actually formed in this.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Okay. At the end of last week's reading,
yes.
2 weeks ago reading, I guess, actually, Luke and Leia were captured by General Grammel or
yes.
Sergeant Grammel. Whatever.
Sergeant Commander Grammel. Pierce yes. Captain Grammatical.
Captain Supervisor Grammel.
Captain Supervisor Grammatical.
That's it, yes. Mr. Grammatical is General Grievous.
Big Boss Man G.
General Grievous.
Big G. Can we call him General Grievous from now on, even though he's not?
That's it, General Grievous. I have actually a lot in here where I did not highlight stuff because
that's
I was just sort of reading and trying to move along. But so he basically says to them, hey, you got this crystal? Cool. Well, I'm going to have this other governor come look at this crystal. He calls this dude, and the dude's like, keep them there because it's Princess Leia. And he's like, I don't know who this is. Whatever. I don't know. Instead of saying to the guy, yo, this is probably one of the biggest leaders of the rebellion, he's like, yeah, you should just keep that lady there. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about who they are. Just
is because she's a lady and that's her only importance?
No, it's because they don't want, this guy doesn't want General Grievous to find out how important she is and turn her in and get all the credit for it.
Okay.
So he's showing up and like, yo, what's up? So Luke and Leia get thrown into a cell, as you do in a Star Wars movie, because what we have to do is replay a lot of the important stuff that happened.
Does there happen to be trash on the bottom of the cell?
Man, you screwed up my question that I was going
to
ask you.
Man, I know Star Wars. I didn't even need to read it.
Okay, no. Here's the question that I got for you.
Okay, ask away, man. Ask away.
All right. When they get put into this cell that Grammel says is dangerous, are they dealing with another trash monster? Are they dealing with a Wookiee? Or are they dealing with some other type of thing?
Is that the question?
Yeah.
All right. I want to say a trash monster because it's just too easy, right? I want to say a trash monster.
Right.
I want to say a Wookiee because also, but here's the thing. It's not a Wookiee, and I'm going to tell you why it's not a Wookiee.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they would so quickly introduce a new Wookiee companion in a proposed sequel.
Right.
I just don't think you can't overlook Chewie, right? You can't replace Chewie, and yet you also can't give too much more personality to another Wookiee. So I'm going to say nix on the Wookiee. I'm going to lean towards trash monster, but also maybe lean towards like a bog monster or something of that sort.
So wait, are you saying trash monster specifically like that?
I'm saying probably a trash monster. So if it's a trash monster, awesome. But if it's not a trash monster, then a bog monster. It's in a bog.
It is technically neither of those. It's actually more like a Wookiee.
Wait,
It is called a Yuuzhan. Oh, God. It's
a Yuuzhan?
A Yuuzhan.
What's that guy's name? Bosk?
No, Bosk is a lizard. Bosk? This guy's more like the werewolf dude. He's more like the werewolf dude. A Yuuzhan. Yuuzhan. And there are two of them.
Yuuzhans. Okay.
Yeah. It's so they meet up with him and Ki. And Luke
just happens to be really good at speaking the Yuuzhan language. Just out of nowhere, he's like, yo, I know this language. So he talks them down from attacking them.
Distant relatives of the Wookiees. Wow. Wow, that's stupid. Okay.
You're right?
Yeah,
right?
That's stupid.
Yeah, so we needed a Chewbacca because in this, we don't have Chewbacca or Han Solo. Because Alan Dean Foster was told not to include Han Solo and Chewbacca because he wasn't sure if Harrison Ford was going to sign the contract to return for the second movie.
Well, that's garbage.
Yep.
Because I could use some Han wit in this book that I haven't read.
You're getting none. Getting none of
no
that.
No Han wit.
Getting no scoundrel hotness.
No Han wit. I just get Luke and Leia calling each other by first name way more than I want to.
Yeah.
You ever notice that so far? Like, in the first part, it was like, what are we going to do, Leia? I don't often say your first name. I don't think I've said your first name during this whole thing.
You're like, dude, what are we going to do?
Right, I don't
say, hey, man, what are we going to do?
What do you think we should think about, Bob? They say each other's first name a lot.
Leia, I'm going to need you to do this. Luke.
Yes.
Luke, I need you to do this.
Get over here, Luke. Give me a kiss on the lips and mouth. On the cheeks, on the top of my forehead, on my belly skin, on my feet. Check out my new mud pie. Check out how I'm pushing the mud off.
Oh, go man, ahead. I can't wait to push some more mud off.
Me too.
Here's a question for you. How many times in the rest of the reading for this week do we talk about pushing the mud off?
I'm going to say twice.
It is none.
There's no more pushing the mud
off? There's no more mud pushing.
He heard. Alan Dean Foster heard.
Mm-hmm. They do have some water issues later, but that's right at the end of it.
That sounds like a pee problem. Like, I've got a few water issues. Yeah,
a few water issues. Don't worry about it. Luke and Leia have some water issues.
Ew.
So they meet up with Hin and Kee in their cell.
Hin, H-I-N?
Yes, and K-E-E.
Space K-E. Okay, Hinky.
Wow, man. So apparently these are two creatures that got in trouble because they realized that the Imperials were treating them badly in the mines. So they just wrecked a whole bunch of equipment and got
it's
locked
awesome.
In the cell.
That's awesome. Hin and Kee are my new favorites.
And they were drunk.
Yes!
And are presumably, because it apparently takes them days, they are presumably drunk through all of the rest of the reading that we got through.
You say it takes them days.
It takes them days to sober up.
Sorry. No way, really?
Days to sober up, yeah.
That's cool. What a cool life to live.
So, another question. Next question.
Okay.
Who shows up to save them and help them escape from...
Who shows up to save Hin and Kee and Leia and Luke?
Yeah. To escape from the cell that they're in.
R2-D2, no doubt. And C-3PO, no doubt.
No.
I'm going to hang my hat on that. Why?
Nope. It's Hela, the old lady.
Yeah, this character, nobody sensitive cared. Lady. I literally forgot about it. I remember Jennifer Grievous, but I didn't.
Do you want to know how they escaped the cell, man? Rance, Rance, would you like to know?
Yes, Bob, Rance? I would.
Rance, would you like to know how they escaped the cell?
Give me a few suggestions. I want to figure it out. I want to be a sleuth. I want to be a Star Wars sleuth. I want to be a Luke Sky sleuth.
Okay.
Luke Sleuthwalker. Let's talk about Jennifer Grievous and a Luke Sleuthwalker.
Okay. One, they use the Force to splash a cup of water onto the controls for the cell and short them out. Two, they use the Force to move a dinner tray to the control stud.
Not that one. Just go on to the next choice because clearly you were making that one up and it wasn't doing well.
Three, Jedi mind trick to trick the stormtrooper into letting them out of the cell.
Okay, two is not an option. I'm just telling you right now. I know for a fact that two is not an option because you screwed that one up so bad when you were talking about it that I knew you were making it up on the fly. I saw the narrative being spun in your eyes. Am I at least confirmed that I'm right about that?
No.
Dinner tray?
They use a dinner tray.
You've got to be kidding me.
Not only did they use a dinner tray, by the way, I knew what I was doing.
I don't like that. That was crappy.
I was playing with you.
You're playing with me. You're being a real sneak boy. I could look this plot up.
They used a dinner tray. Hela starts to move the dinner tray over to the control stud for the cell bars, and she can't keep it going, so Luke has to do it the rest of the way.
He has to catch the force pass.
Yes, he catches it, because if they drop it to the floor, then everybody's gonna hear it.
So they basically play force basketball.
Yeah.
It's like, catch this force. Like, I could send you the force right now. You gotta catch it though. You ready? 1, 2, 3, catch the force.
I got the force.
Yeah, now you gotta throw it back to me. 1, 2, 3. Oh, I got it anyway.
Nice. Good job, man. Cool. I'm proud of you.
Caught the force kiss and sent you a force kiss.
Oh, got it.
So they get out. So Hela helps them get out and of the cell.
And then they escape.
Does Jennifer Grievous get, does he like see them from a distance and go,
oh, no. Okay. So
who does Jennifer Grievous kill out of his anger?
Jennifer Grievous doesn't have an opportunity to kill anyone because Luke, they kill some stormtroopers on the way out, and Luke grabs a bunch of thermal detonators and blows up the front of this building and just buries a bunch of people in rubble.
Wow.
He just murders a bunch of people with explosives.
That's cool, man. This is before Luke really understood what the extent of his power was, right?
Yeah. And then General Grievous has to have his entire armory built. But it's not like a Luke Skywalker. I've got a fake arm in the end of Empire Strikes Back. It's like I have a real arm with, you know, they actually rebuild it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like DNA and
so he's got a ton of like scars and stuff because they wrap like skin around it, and they don't tell you all the whole process, but yeah. So they mess that guy up. So he's mad. He's mad and he's upset because this governor is going to show up, and he no longer has these dudes that escaped.
So Jennifer Sandra Bullock Grievous is so mad that he's got to get, he doesn't even get a cool mechanical arm. He just gets a fake real boy arm.
Yeah, yeah. He just gets it. He just gets it sort of what do you call that? What is it when they build stuff?
Regenerated.
Grafted. He gets grafted and regenerated parts. How?
That's no fun.
Nope.
Maybe that is one of the reasons why Luke got a mechanical arm in movie 2, because George Lucas read Sphincter of the Mind's Eye and he was like, grafting skin sucks. Let's give Luke a real metal boy, a fake metal boy arm. Nice looking arm, by the way. I'm just checking this out. Man.
Cool.
I got a good that looking arm.
Look at that muscle. Look at that muscle you got, bro.
It's just the angle. It's just the angle, yo.
Oh,
you know?
Man. I'm going to shave my muscle, too. I'm not going to shave my muscle.
I want to just move my arm.
Whatever. I'd like to shave my leg muscles, but they're too far down.
Let me see that leg.
Them up. Hup, 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 hup,
I got this cat trying to get up here. I'm sorry.
That's cool. Let that cat up.
I'm trying.
I like how you've just been lounging all episode.
Yeah, I have.
You're just chilling.
Do I sound good?
You sound great, man, because you have a microphone on your headset, and I'm using a real big boy microphone.
I like it. I'm gonna be getting
right
a big boy microphone
here.
Soon too. So don't you worry about that.
I bought a new chair this week. Completely off topic. I bought a stool.
Does it feel good?
No, it sucks actually.
Because you have no back support.
And that's not the problem. It's just smaller and less padded than I thought. So it's kind of painful on my butt.
Can I tell you a secret? Remember we were talking about how
I don't care about this book, man.
I don't either.
The world's changing. I don't care about it.
How ghosts see us without our clothes.
Yes, you told me. Yeah.
The other thing is that I can't buy used chairs.
This isn't used.
No, I know, but that's just.
Are you afraid of people farting in that chair?
Oh, my God. Knowing the amount of farts I have drilled into my chair.
Mm-hmm. This chair is actually fart. It's a fart version.
It's a fart
right
version
now.
At the moment.
Yeah,
the amount that I have drilled into my chair. Couches are a little different. As long as it's like a Scotch Garden couch, right? If it's like,
I don't want somebody's old couch.
No, but
no
like,
thanks.
Like, but it's got to be a good looking couch, right? I'm not picking up something that's got stains on it. If it's got stains on it, you farted on it way too much, even if the fart wasn't what caused the stains. Yeah, so I wouldn't want to give anybody this chair.
Well then. Don't give him that chair, bro. Simple as that. Throw it out when you're done with it. Like, what kind of stupid statement is that?
I don't know.
I don't want to give anybody this chair.
I just felt like that was him.
It's like saying, I don't want to give anybody AIDS. Of course you don't want to give anybody AIDS.
No, I don't. I don't. I really don't. Do you... Okay. So, Jennifer Grievous, Jennifer Sandra Bullock Grievous, he gets mad, he gets a fake arm. Okay, so let me recap as somebody you didn't read.
Yeah.
He got broke out by Hela. They use the dinner tray trick. The dinner tray force trick.
Right.
Bang, boom, hit the stud, get in, out. Kill some boys underneath the rubble mess. Then Jennifer Grievous. Okay, how does Jennifer Sandra Bullock Grievous lose his arm, though?
Because he gets crushed.
Does he get rubbled, too? He gets Barney rubbled as well?
Yep. He sees him, and he's about to go, no! And then it blows up.
Does he say no?
I don't remember, man.
Oh, okay. Okay. So then they're free. So then what is their conflict at that point? Is it we have to find a way to end this mining thing, end the stormtrooper occupation here?
They gotta find the kyber crystal.
That's right. And then get back to Coravascular or whatever the name of that planet is where they're doing the peace meeting, right?
Oh, bro. Page, I just need to tell you, page 124 of this you're talking about, you asked me if they did some un-Luke, un-Leia-like stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, Princess Leia faints.
Faints?
She faints. Apparently she's got terrible PTSD from when she was tortured on the Death Star, and she faints. And it comes up more than once in the book, in the reading from this past 2 weeks, and it's like, dude, it's... PTSD is a thing, and I get it, but never once has any person in Star Wars in the canon movies gone, yo, I got tortured, and now I've got severe PTSD from it. I'm a faint. Especially not Princess Leia. She doesn't faint.
She's a badass. Princess Leia's a badass, man. Like, she was a badass in the first movie.
The closest somebody comes to fainting in the whole book is that stupid old man, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obi-Wan Kenobi, I love you. I'm just joking. Sir Alec Guinness and Ewan McGregor, I love both of you. I hope you weren't racist.
Like, you looked behind me really quick.
Oh, the cat is cleaning itself. That's adorable. And there's one on your lap. You're a catman.
I'm a cat boy.
You're cat bro. And Luke's just, she passes out, and Luke just kind of goes, she'll be all right.
I just leave her in the mud.
Don't worry about it. She's good. He helped Leia wipe away cold tears. Also, who cries cold?
My tears are all cold.
So I'm just going through some of my bookmarks real quick.
Some of your comments. I love it.
She lost control, man. That's what she says. She apologizes for passing out and says, I'm sorry, I lost control. Real Princess Leia stuff there. Oh, the worst line in a Star Wars thing ever.
Can't wait.
Nice yawn.
Oh, man, I'm hitting it up.
While they're playing force catch with the dinner tray,
yeah.
Hela tells Luke, "Remember how I taught you? Relax, relax. Let the force work through you. Don't try to force the force." See you next week. Don't try to force the force.
Lowercase f, capital F.
Yep. That's it, man. That's the end of the book right there. That should be it. Don't try to force the force.
Don't try to force the force.
What do you think? How dumb is that? Everybody knows even now. Was he thinking that he was writing a clever line?
Hey, don't force the force. Ba, 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 ba.
Oh,
it's gun fingers. That's like a gun fingers moment, right? Pew, don't force the force.
When Luke blows up the front of the building, both modern metal and ancient stone go woo-wooing over his head.
Woo-wooing. This guy has used so many words. Like, what was the word that we talked about last week? Stentorious. Stentoriously. And then here they woo-woo.
Yes, and the only thing
the
only notes I wrote right there at the top were party time.
Party time. Woo-woo.
Woo-woo. That rock went woo-wooing over his head.
There you go. That's the name of this episode. Woo-woo.
Woo-woo.
Woo-woo. I
hate how he keeps referring to R2-D2 and C-3PO by writing out their names, but he refers to R2-D2 as D2 at some point. And I'm like, bro, nobody refers to him as D2. They all refer to him as R2.
He was trying to start a new thing, dude. He was trying to start a new movement. Like, this is
D2
before...
is like a last name.
He's R2.
He's R2. Everybody calls him R2. But I feel like look at that little R2 unit.
Maybe Alan Dean Foster was really trying to do, like,
Nobody's like, look at that little D2 unit.
He was trying to leave up.
Stupid.
Maybe he's got a, well, maybe Luke's D1. He's like, hey, number two. Hey, number one. But like D2 is in, like, he's got a tiny penis, or... I'm going
to
take
got,
it.
He's got D2. Luke has to charge his lightsaber. Hey, we find out in this book that you have to charge lightsaber.
Hey, so Bob, when there's an accident in the middle of the road, what do you got to take?
A D2.
He's got to take a D2.
No, I'm going to take an R2, man.
Later on, I might eat some Fruity Pebbles and take a D2 after that. Yo, check out this D2.
Oh, man, talking about the fake arm?
Yeah.
She says he'll never sweat from the arm again. Like, apparently Star Wars fake skin, like, grafted skin, you don't sweat anymore. You have the sweat glands.
I don't...
So that arm's going to get really hot, right?
What?
Yeah, you don't ever sweat from your arm
again.
Have
you ever remembered all those times in your life you sweat profusely from your arm?
Yeah, it's a lot. I do it every time I run.
Yeah, but do you ever look down and be like, dang, I
sweat
at heart.
My arm's so sweaty.
Like, right, like, I feel sweaty, right? I feel sweat on my back, I feel sweat on my neck, I feel sweat sometimes in my head, but definitely my pits. A bang, boom.
Yeah.
But there's never a point at which I'm like, dang, my arm sweats so much.
You got the sweatiest arm, bro. You got the sweatiest arm, bro. Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Using the term seismologist, somebody's a seismologist,
right.
Or first you want me to be a philosopher, now a seismologist. Do you think they have seismologists in Star Wars? Like, wouldn't they use a different term?
No, I think...
You think so? It's not a weird anachronism?
A seismic might be based on somebody's name, but I also think seismic.
Please find that for me while I continue going forward in this amazing piece of literature that is called Sphincter of the Mind's Eye.
Actually, no, I think so seismic is not based on anybody's name. According to Google, it's from the Greek seismos, which means earthquake. So I get that.
Okay.
So it's based on Earth. But you know what you know what really bothers me about that line?
What?
It's a really, really bad reference to another space related.
To Star Trek?
Yes.
Where he's like, I'm a doctor,
yes.
Not a this. Yeah.
Yes, damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor, not a seismologist.
Damn it, Heller. Heller.
Damn it, Helen.
Damn it, Heller.
Come on, Helen. Damn it, Helen, I don't know what you're doing with all these dinner trays, but I don't like it. I'm gonna
Damn it, Helen, I'm
boys.
Not a philosopher. I'm not a seismologist. I'm just a farm boy from Tatooine.
I feel like this was Alan Dean Foster, ADF, just trying to, he was throwing pasta at every wall, and he was like, let's see which one stick. D2? No. Right? Let me make a joke that's based on Star Trek, but it's sort of like my own twist. And it falls down. But the one that really falls short is Force. Like, it doesn't even hit the wall.
No.
It just
no,
sort of falls like a flaccid penis.
Yeah. It's like, oh, he just pissed his pants a little bit.
Yeah.
He didn't shake it well.
No, he didn't. He didn't.
So here's a question for you. Here's another quiz question for you.
Let's hit it up.
When Luke and the gang escape and they take, like a land crawler, they could have taken, we could have done anything. We could have, well, there were no AT-ATs or AT-STs
until
Empire Strikes Back.
Right, right.
So instead of doing something cool like that, they just basically send them out into like a land crawler, which I'm assuming is like a track vehicle,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
to go out, or multi-wheeled vehicle. But it's definitely not, I don't think it's speeder related. I don't think it hovers.
Okay.
It's not like a normal hovercraft.
Right.
We know in Star Wars where everything hovers, it's not on wheels.
Yeah.
They get chased by something, and that's our next dramatic tension in the book.
Okay.
They get chased by something and separated. Are they chased by what seems like it could become a rancor beast, a bunch of... Oh, man, I could fuck this one up. I was like, I got to think of a number two. So what could be a rancor beast?
Yeah.
What could be the giant worm from Empire Strikes Back out of the planet? Or a bunch of Ewoks?
Not
number
Ewok two.
Type things.
Not number two, not number three. It's going to be number one. Rancor type beast. But I'm really surprised that you didn't say the servants of some off-world smuggler named Hutt.
No, it's actually
because sorry, I feel like that's sort of like what this book almost needs is like another tension conflict. Yeah, like somebody else that's like, shit, we got two people behind us now.
No, you don't get that.
I'm gonna say Rancor Beast.
It's the worm.
Really?
Yeah, they get chased by a giant worm.
Huh.
And Luke and Leia have to go down into a chasm in order to escape it, and it falls down the chasm behind them. And it reminds me a lot of like a sandworm from Dune, the way they describe it. But it's basically, I feel like it's the asteroid beast from Empire Strikes Back.
Gotcha. Really. Gotcha.
That they kind of went, okay, we'll take the asteroid, the idea of this giant worm.
And put it in we'll it, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Their vehicle gets destroyed and they escape from that. But while they escape from that, let me read you this little bit.
Do they accidentally fall into each other and begin having sex?
Luke felt the warmth of the body next to him, lowered his gaze. Framed in the faint light from above, the princess looked more radiant, more beautiful than ever. Leia, he began.
It's your sister.
And then they get interrupted. They're getting all horny while they're running from, and they're running from this creature still.
Oh, that shows you this is written by a guy who was probably not really experiencing intimate connections with people that time in his life.
Yeah.
Because ain't nobody running from somebody, checking out somebody's like body and being like, hey, let's...
Right, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, if you're being chased, you're not going to stop in the middle of like your hiding spot and be like, oh, I'm so into you. Let's
I can
kiss.
Almost feel like Arlene Sanderclaws and Flynn Taggart almost had more believable sexual tension in them.
Than Luke and Leia do?
Than Luke and Leia do in this book. Yeah, I'm going to give Daffy to Pew
flirty.
That.
There's more weird flirty. Don't give it to him. Give it to Brad Lynn Weaver. Give it to the dead man. So they climb down this shaft, and the worm falls behind them. And that's basically...
Where we stop?
Yeah, Hela and the droids come back and find them down, like they see them down the shaft, but they're like, there's no way to get up because all the rocks that we climbed have broken off. So.
D2 and PO come find them?
Yeah.
Post office box and D2? Diablo 2 and post office box? I'm just renaming everything today because that's about the extent of my brain cool. power.
So you can see that you probably don't even need to read any past. Oh, wait, here's
I will. Yeah, I will. I got to catch up because there's going to be stuff that I need to.
I want you. I'm a guy who works in theater, as you can see clearly by the amazing job that I'm doing in production here.
Yeah.
He talks about blue-yellow light at one point.
Okay.
I want you to think about that.
Blue-yellow light is green light.
Right. There's no such thing as a blue-yellow light. You literally can't make blue light. You can make yellow light.
You can have a yellow light
and
a blue
cold light.
You can have a yellow and a blue light.
But you can't make blue-yellow light.
You cannot have blue-yellow light.
I've got a white light and a blue light right here. They don't go together and make blue light.
Watch this. Do you see how all of a sudden I turn blue?
Yeah.
Okay. So watch this. Watch this. We're going to make blue-yellow lights right here in my room at the moment.
I'm excited to see it. Let me show you your sick Philip Hue.
One light blue, one light yellow. Mm-hmm.
Everybody listening to this podcast, I'm really sorry that you can't see what's going on.
But you
don't
can't do
it
at the same time.
About...
Exactly. Or it's going to turn green.
Right. If you look at a color wheel, they're like, hold on.
I have a color wheel right here. It's on my phone.
Yeah, I got a color wheel
right
there.
Here. Show me blue green.
I can't because green's green.
Or blue yellow.
Why is it the green's the one that's still there?
Who knows, man? Who knows?
Yeah, so blue is here. Yellow's over here.
You so put green
them together
is between
and
them.
They make green.
Is green a secondary color?
Yes.
Okay. There's primary, secondary, tertiary, right?
Right.
So primary, we're going to have a quick fun fest here. Primary is blue, yellow,
red.
Red. Because yellow, red, and here's our secondaries. Yellow, red make orange.
Mm-hmm.
Blue, red make purple.
Yes.
Blue, yellow make green. Those are our secondaries, right?
Yes.
Gosh.
Also for any of my lighting
art major.
For all of my lighting friends, yes, I know we're talking about cyan, violet and amber, but I'm...
Why? Why? No. Talk to me about that for a second.
I don't know why. It's stupid, man.
No one
calls... It's dumb.
I don't call red crimson. I don't call blue... indigo, and I don't
call... Yeah, but
call
in theater, we do. In yellow, lighting, in the lighting world, we do.
What do you call yellow? What do you call it? Is it
amber. Yellow is amber. Rot? Yellow is amber.
Cyan, amber. I thought amber was orange.
Violet. No, amber's yellow.
I almost fell backwards. I was so, what?
Yeah, we don't put yellow gels in. We put amber gels in. It's a light amber. Yellow is a light amber. Amber is closer to orange.
I don't like any of that.
No, it sucks, bro.
That's making myself sound important.
My industry is stupid. It is.
For important sake. Well,
because if anybody knew that all we did to change colors of lights was put a piece of cellophane in them, they'd be like, what?
You don't even need to do that sometimes.
That takes a college degree?
You don't even need to do that sometimes, right? You have LCD
lights. Well, yeah, now we have LEDs. Now we have LEDs, and I can go, hey Alexa, make bulb 2 orange.
A few things share the name bulb. Which one did you want?
Well, thank you, technology. Thanks, technology.
Thanks. Don't worry about it. I'll talk to you later.
Did you mean bias light?
No, bias I light. Definitely did not mean that.
What did she ask? What is light?
Sorry, I didn't
bias light.
Named thanks.
Thanks, Spanks.
Maybe that should be the name of the episode. Jeez. Woo, 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 thanks, thanks.
So what would you grade this particular reading? If you were to say, I want to give it a grade, what would you grade it?
I'd give it about 4.5 kyber crystals out of 10 lightsabers.
Has there been any thread of anyone else finding the kyber crystal at this point? Like, is no. Jennifer, is Jennifer Small Fry Grievous, like, anywhere
not
near
close.
Them?
He's not even close. That's exactly it. There's no real dramatic tension in this. It's like a weird, hey, are Luke and Leia going to be Diane and Sam from Cheers episode?
You know what, Bob? I'm noticing a problem. I was about to make a statement that I thought was going to be clever, and I realize it's way too clever for its own good.
Okay, go ahead.
I was about to say this sounds like the real Star Trek the motion picture of Star Wars movies, but I get totally why that is.
Yeah, because it's Alan Dean Foster, the guy who wrote that story.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's not that it's bad. I'm not sitting here reading a book going, this is terrible.
Right, right.
It's just not... It suffers from the same problem I think that a lot of Star Wars EU stuff suffers from, where they're not focused enough on... Star Wars can be a rollicking adventure, but it's,
yes,
in the scene that it's in, it's very focused. Well, let's say the original trilogy.
Well,
of Star
okay,
Wars.
Okay. So I was gonna say, you and I have
trash.
You and I have, I think, the same feeling about the original trilogy, which is that Return of the Jedi is the best, right?
Yeah,
I love Return of the Jedi too.
And look, nerds, it's fine. You can love whichever one you want. Most people love Empire the most because Han Solo says, "I know," and that's cool. Whatever, I know.
I like Empire for its clips. There are moments in Empire I love. I love Empire, because I think Empire and Return of the Jedi are great movies. I think A New Hope is a good movie. Like, but it feels very minimal in scope compared to Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, which I almost wonder if this is suffering the same thing, where it's like, Star Trek, what was the third Star Trek movie? Star Trek Beyond?
Search for Spock.
Not Search for Spock, I'm sorry. But yeah, actually, Search for Spock 2 can suffer from this.
Yeah.
Where instead of it being this large scale, in space, right? These stories that take place in space.
Are you talking Star Trek, not Beyond the Darkness? Star Trek Beyond, yeah.
Yeah, Star Trek Beyond. Yes, the third one, right? Mm-hmm. Where I don't necessarily like sci-fi where characters are stuck on a single planet, especially when it's like a space-hopping, world-jumping kind of story.
Right.
Star Trek, I expect them to be in space and to visit locations, but for not for those locations to be the whole heart and setting of the story. The same problem happened with the search for Spock. The moment they got to the planet, they got to the Spock planet, they realized the planet was basically aging with Spock.
Yeah.
That's where they stay almost the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing happened with Star Trek
Genesis
Beyond.
Genesis Planet,
yeah. The same thing happened with Star Trek Beyond where they get the NCIS, NC-1701. I can never remember the name of it.
The Enterprise?
Yeah, the Enterprise. Crashes. Simon Pegg writes a whole movie where there's motorcycles and they're on a planet.
Yeah. It's not a bad movie. It's just
right.
Yeah, it's just it's like Star Trek Insurrection.
Yes. Where yes. Your scope stuck is on a, so small,
and they're stuck on a planet.
Yeah.
There's and, it's not. It's not. It's in a we're it's we're crash landed.
Yes.
And there's no real Star Trek. It's just a survival.
That's thing. Not Star Wars to me. Mm-hmm. Which is funny because I'm about to say, like, if we look at Return of the Jedi, half of that movie takes place in the same planet, but it's basically, but it's also a large concluding battle. It's a battle for a planet that just happens to be the central
it's
location.
It's also not just locked on the planet. You've right. got, you start at Tatooine, you end up on Endor, but also there's the battle happening in space. There's the battle on the forest moon of Endor. Elsewhere on Endor, Luke and the Darth Vader are dealing with the Emperor. There's a whole lot going on.
Yes.
And yeah. This is following five characters on the same planet in a very linear storyline.
Yeah.
Empire works. People think that Empire works because they split the main three up. You know, they split
I can see that.
Han,
I can
Luke,
see that.
And Leia
yeah.
up. And so Luke's doing his stuff on Dagobah while they're doing their stuff on Cloud City.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's cool, but I actually think that's one of the reasons why Empire is not my favorite, because
you like the dynamics between
them. I like having them together. Actually, I sort of don't like it when Luke leaves again in Empire and he's like in Return of the Jedi, even though it's my yeah. favorite one, and Luke gets to go out and finally do some badass stuff. Yeah. But he also gets the band back together first. And then
I would say that's the risk, right? That's the thing you have to lose to get that kind of narrative growth, is for us to see Luke Skywalker's growth. We have to also see it through the eyes of others, because we've been so close to Luke the entire time. It's just like, you know, it's just like not recognizing that your partner in life or anything like that. My wife and I were actually talking about this today, that you never actually see someone change.
Right.
You they only see the comparison. Yes, mm-hmm. You can only see an old picture and go, wow, you've changed. So the reason we know that Luke has continued that circular hero's journey, right, that he's sort of on the upswing, is that the other characters meet back up with him in Return of the Jedi. And they're, without saying as much, they're amazed. They're seeing yeah. a different Luke. We don't see that different Luke because while we've noticed his growth, we've been there with him the entire mm-hmm. time.
And I mean, but they do a lot of like do. They do a lot of stuff where they go, hey, Luke is you know, he leaves for Dagobah, then he comes back to Cloud City, but then yeah, he doesn't get back to Yoda. He's training on his own.
Yeah.
He doesn't make it back to Yoda until Yoda dies.
So that's a question I would have for you as the current expert on this book.
Mm-hmm. I would tell you that.
Does Luke, possessing his current expansive force powers, is it almost under the presumption that he has hit his – look at the cat. Holy crap. Mm-hmm. That he has hit his apex and that he's not going to learn anymore? Like that there's no – that almost like he has gotten his extent of force powers mm-hmm. and we're happy with that.
No. That's what this whole thing with Hela is I okay. think that she's a force sensitive who – she actually – when they're doing the dinner tray sequence, she's sort of coaching him to get better because he's not good at force pulling or force lifting.
Gotcha.
Or anything like that. Which, side note, before we get ready to go, because we should be ending soon.
Yeah.
I watched a YouTube video about Jedi who used dark powers, Jedi who used dark side powers. And a lot of people talk about Mace Windu, and they're like, Mace Windu created this whole lightsaber battle style that allowed him to use dark powers without going over to the dark side. And he's one of the only Jedi who uses Force Crush.
And what is the style?
I don't remember. Vax Backspidalax? It starts with a V.
Vax Backspidalax?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we see... what's his name? Darth Vader used Force Choke a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Luke, I think, uses Force Choke on somebody in Jabba's palace.
Yes, I do believe. Correctly. Yes.
Those are variations of Force Crush.
Yeah.
In my head, I would think so. So what makes that so different? What, like, I feel like a lot of Jedi, how is it different than Force Push or force pull. Why are you're just using the force to move a thing? It's telekinesis.
Right.
You're just using a different
pushes basically from the front of the object.
Pull is basically
from the other side. It's a push from the other
and
side.
And crushes
right?
from both sides.
Right.
Or from all around. How is that any different? Why is that a dark side power? It's not like lightning.
Don't they force lift things at one point too? Yeah, like doesn't Luke like force lift stuff?
Yeah, he pulls his lightsaber towards him. Yes, he's picking up a whole bunch of stuff. I don't understand what the difference is. So, and I'm like, Force Crush is really considered a different power?
I guess maybe it's the idea that Crush is specifically an here's the question that it comes down to. Is Force Choke done with the intent to be a damaging choke different than a Force Choke where you're like, you know, it's almost the it's
am I holding this guy up against the wall making him not talk or am I trying to crush this guy's larynx?
Am I thumbing here basically with the force, or am I just like, pah, gotcha, like a pull in the punch the last moment.
It's
like,
a little tap.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I was actually having this discussion recently with our mother. A similar discussion to this about Harry Potter, J.K. Rowling, you're canceled, you're terrible, get out of here with that turf bullshit.
I have a question for you relating to that.
Cool.
One last question before this episode's
cool. done. That we were talking about how, in a way, it's a really clever commentary on the lack of recognition of dangerous powers. So we have wizards in Harry Potter who you were taught that these are unforgivable curses not to use them. That you cannot use, should not use, will not use. Avada Kedavra,
Crucio,
and what's the...
Imperius.
But they act like they're untouchables and unforgivables. They don't actually discuss ever how to defend against them. They just say, nope, we're not going there. It's like it's an interesting almost governmental commentary on, instead of informing and preparing people to defend against the true dangers, let's just act like they don't exist, and we're going to act like that if you're a good person, you'll never use them and they'll make it go away. I mean, obviously problematic as well because it leaves so many things open, and there's even a moment in the books where Harry uses Crucio, does he not?
That's the thing. It's like they use Imperius and they use the Cruciatus curse.
Yes.
Both. Towards the end, the good guys I don't think ever break down far enough to use
Avada Kedavra. No.
They don't actually attempt to murder, but they do take away another's free will, and they do use it to cause excruciating pain.
Right,
and they never are punished for that. And I know that it's like so, and also basically it's like, you break the law, but you don't get caught. Well, then it's okay to use it. And or do the ends justify the means? You're having that whole conversation. To me, the fact that they use those curses actually really hurt them. Like,
really?
It hurt their characters for me. I understand that they're children using any tool that they can to survive, and that it's like, do you, as a pacifist, do you stab Hitler in the neck when he's like, do you come
hell
up
yeah,
behind
you do.
Hitler and
oh,
stab
hell
him
yeah.
in the back?
Oh, hell yeah, you do.
I mean,
we can't have that conversation, right?
Yes,
because yeah, you stab that bitch. You take your hands and crush the sides of his temples where his skull is softest, or you take your knuckles and you just jab them
you
into
kill
his
him
eyes,
in his sleep.
Right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
You kill him in his sleep.
You Hamlet that shit. You find him. I don't care if he's praying. You just take your elbow, you put it on his teeth and his nose at the same time and press down, and you murder that bitch. Murder Hitler. Hitler's worth murdering. Sorry, that was my moment.
That's fine. And
yeah, as a baby, Hitler's a baby, you kill that bitch.
Yeah, absolutely. But then the question becomes, is it the same thing? If you're looking at what Voldemort does, he's basically the wizard Hitler. So is it okay then to use those curses? Are we saying the same thing? That it's okay to use whatever tool is at your disposable to win?
Disposable.
Disposable tools.
Okay, but see, I have a different take on that, though.
Mm-hmm.
The only curse that is actively different in anything that is outside of morality is Avada Kedavra. Because when you kill with magic, we're talking about how the hell we started talking about Harry Potter. I have no idea.
I know. We should.
But the two are really interchangeable, right? Like,
well,
a
lot of people say that there's a lot of Star Wars in Harry Potter.
Avada Kedavra is the only one that has an active physical difference in you, or a difference in you when you use it. Your soul breaks apart and shatters when you murder somebody, right?
Right.
Crucio Imperius don't do that. They are simply morally wrong. So in the right context, there's a clear measurable value difference there.
Yeah.
One is simply constrained by morale, or two are simply constrained by the ideas of morality. One is constrained by what is an actual effect on you. See, it never bothered me too greatly they used them. I saw that as almost a collateral damage of war, a moral collateral damage of war that they never went far enough to use Avada Kedavra because Stupefy and Expelliarmus were most powerful.
It's getting a little bit dark here, but wouldn't you argue that taking away someone's free will is as bad, if not worse, than murdering them?
Absolutely, 100%.
And so therefore, I don't necessarily look at the use of the Cruciatus curse. It's like, oh, you hurt a guy, you tortured him, whatever. Yeah. Like, no, not the torturing is great, but you hurt somebody. They're trying to hurt you. That's fine. It's almost like just being in a fight.
Right.
But to take away, and they didn't just take away someone's free will. They took away an innocent person's free will.
True. Who was it?
It was Grip. Was it Grip Hook or not Grip Hook? It was one of the other goblins.
Yes, I'm making this motion. Wow.
At least in the movies. I don't remember.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, because they get him killed.
Yeah.
They get him.
No, he gets himself killed because he's out of the curse at that point. But, I mean, by bringing him down into the... Yeah, they do Imperio him again, I think.
Yeah, he's still Imperioed at that point.
Yeah.
He can't move. Right?
Yeah. I think
some homework this week.
I know. We'll talk about that.
I remember being
next week.
Really bothered. I actually, now that you mention that, I remember being a little bothered by that because I was like, but that poor bastard's just got roasted.
For really doing his job and kind of even trying to save his own life. Though they were mean to that dragon.
Terrible to that dragon.
And I got like animal abusers, you also
forfeit. Animal abusers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was the question you were going to ask me? Says the guy who literally just said J.K. Rowling is a turf and I'm wearing
a Wizarding Wizard. Yeah, so my question for you is, what makes J.K. Rowling's work any different than anybody else that if she's canceled? Just because it's a multi-million dollar...
I'm fighting with that on my own, right? I mean that. Like, lately...
Franchise.
I love Harry Potter. We have not really talked about that. Love Harry Potter. It completely actually reignited and redefined my love of reading at a specific time in my life where I was very foolishly jaded about what I thought I should be reading. Mm-hmm. I distinctly remember, and I think you and I might have even had this conversation back, 16 years ago, about how it was like, I ain't reading Harry Potter. That's some pop culture bullshit.
Absolutely.
It's not as good as like the unheard of fan. And then I read it and I read the shit in like, I read up through book five in like a week. You and I sat there on the couch.
Yeah. When it came out.
Yeah.
We kicked people out of the house
when book six came out. We're like, get out of here. We're reading.
Yep.
So I actually am struggling with that right now. It's one of the first moments in my life as a reader and thinker where I have to look at the product. I can do it with somebody like H.P. Lovecraft because H.P. Lovecraft I don't really care for, and I'm going to – if anybody listens to this, I'm going to get for that.
No, H.P. Lovecraft's a racist piece of trash.
His stuff is brilliant. He's a racist piece of trash. But if it came – like I don't – I feel like it's easier for me to separate there because I don't have a direct emotional connection, I think, H.P. Lovecraft is written, right? But with J.K. Rowling, I love Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And so I'm really angry and frustrated. But what makes me happy is that so many people already involved with the movie embodiment of her works have powerfully spoken out directly against her.
Yeah,
Daniel Radcliffe. Mm-hmm. I can't remember her name for the life of me. The girl
Watson?
Who played Emma Watson, the girl who played Cho Chang. They've all like directly responded to her on social media, and for lack of any better term, they've said it more eloquently.
They're like, "Yo, Joe, what are you doing?"
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It's really hard because
yeah.
No, go ahead. You were saying Daniel.
I would say Daniel Radcliffe like put out a whole article about it.
Daniel Radcliffe has turned out to be like
awesome.
A pretty awesome dude. I don't know how to feel about it right now. As far as I definitely think that if you're gonna be a turf, like get out of my face. I'm not here for that. But yeah, what do you do with that art? And here's a different version of this question. As a kid growing up, I loved the Cosby Show. My family watched it every week. Sometimes, as I said, racially indignant family members of my family didn't like people of color. But damn, we sat down and watched the Cosby Show every week. Mm. And now, knowing what a horrible, horrible piece of trash Bill Cosby is, I can't watch that show anymore.
I reflect back on that in a different way as I've grown and I've thought
is
it about it.
Because he did a thing as opposed to saying a thing. He's not just politically incorrect. He is a horrible, horrible...
Yes, that's part of it. I also don't watch The Cosby Show anymore because... Not only that, but there are far better, more passionately and compassionately created shows by black writers, producers, directors, etc. That Cosby, I sometimes wonder if the Cosby Show was catered specifically in its own weird way
to white
people. Exactly what we were just saying, which was having a family that suffered from its own foolish racist perspectives. I'm not going to call it anything else, right? Like, it was like, watch the Cosby Show because, well, it's like...
It's the whitest the black people
yes.
can get.
And so now I don't watch it because I'm like, you know what? That is not a thing that I there's so much mm-hmm. other better stuff to consume by black artists and creators out there. And I need to relearn that for myself.
Mm-hmm.
For as much as the Cosby Show might be wholesome, I think anymore its wholesomeness no longer matches in so many different ways. And that's, you're right. I'm like, I can't pick and choose, but also damn, I can hope that here's the difference. I can hope that J.K. Rowling learns.
Yeah,
I can hope that something she's young enough to know. I hope to God she's young enough to break out of this Karen mentality and fix herself.
I pray that she doesn't just go, look, hey, I'm rich and I don't really care anymore.
And maybe the world is put into a position to inform her about that. Even with Bill Cosby, like you can't reinform
a rapist. Yeah. You got to call it what it is. He's a terrible person. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Let's.
Wow, we got to some places today. We should.
Yeah,
we should get to places.
That's exactly it. It's okay to have a few laughs, but also talk about some things that are serious.
Yep.
I'm fine with that, and I hope that everybody listening is too, and that please join in on these conversations too.
Yep.
On social media, this is not me being like doing the normal end of the episode. Hey, look us up here. But I actually do want to hear people's opinions on things like this. Like that J.K. Rowling question is really important.
It is.
I want to know what people think about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. As an English teacher, right? Or I rely so greatly on comparisons mm-hmm. to Harry Potter all the time. It's one of the most powerful tools
that I have. You just had a tool possibly ripped right out of your toolbox.
Yep.
That's like
I literally
taking my
have
hammer and just going, bye.
On my wall at school, I have two pictures.
Mm-hmm.
That I have one that is always,
yeah,
and then right next to it I have one that is love is love is love. It's a rainbow.
All right, I'm about to show everybody my hot body here. I can't see if you can see it. Oh God, where is it? I'm gonna rip
can't
my shirt. I've got always tattooed
yeah.
on my chest.
It's like,
I mean, it's a thing to do with my fiance and I.
Yeah,
but also like.
Yeah.
It wasn't like there was a second meeting to it also.
Right. So, you know, this cat is killing me.
In fact, talking about that, is that her? I thought I heard her coming in the room.
Your cat? Oh, your fiance?
No, my fiance.
The other thing is that I would like to actually alter the end of our episode a little bit this week.
Yeah.
People know where to get us. They know where to drop likes, all that kind of stuff. I want to encourage people to do one more time like what we encouraged last week, which was take a little time this week. Find some art created by people of color, black artists. Support it. Retweet it. Follow it. Make sure that you are allowing people's voices to be heard out there. If you can get out and find a local protest, go to it. I have to say, so I had the pleasure and opportunity to attend a protest this weekend. And I'm calling out what it is. It was organized by one of my students, and I had so much to learn. It makes me so angry that people who are 16 and 17 years old are the ones that are leading the charge on this, because they shouldn't need to be put in that position, but damn it if they aren't, and it's amazing. And we marched, it was 500 people, we marched several miles to a local police station, took a knee for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, and marched back. People were coming out of the houses on the street joining it. It was unbelievable. And I had so much to learn, and I loved being able to learn that. I loved being able to be put in a position where I could follow the voice and power and expression of a 17-year-old and see that resonate so powerfully. And you know what? We're not the only place in the country that's happening. It's happening all over. It's happening all over the world. So if you get a chance this week, just look. Like look online. You can literally search for like local protests. And if you can't attend a protest, that's okay. Life happens, right? What are some other ways?
You know, we're still in the middle of a pandemic. Right. Like some people can't afford to do that.
Exactly. What are some other ways that you can empower marginalized voices? Can you vote, right? Like, is voting coming up soon? Can you vote in a way that changes the status quo of a racist institution? You know, that's all I wanted to say. I'm sorry, I got...
No, I don't think that's important. I think that's what we've been trying to say. I look at it like you can't say anything else.
Those are
the words. Those are how we have to live our lives, and we should have all been living our lives like before this.
Let's get out there and fix it and do the work. Let's make sure it happens. So nothing like this has to happen again. It's happened way too many damn times. Because truth be told, like, you got somebody like me who's sitting on my ass right here because I didn't get off my ass last time. That's on me.
Yeah. And don't let someone else do the work for you. You do the work yourself.
Yep.
So, well, cool, man.
Black Lives Matter, man.
Yes, Black Lives Matter, and I don't, you know what? There's no other way to end this episode, man.
Nope. Let's do it.
Cool. All right.
Hey, we'll be next week. Let's finish this book, by the way. Let's finish this book. All right. I will catch up.
Star Wars Splinter of the Mind's Eye next week.
Yep.
We'll talk about it. We're going to try to have a guest with us next week, and also let's try to create our own Star Wars movie next week.
Yes, let's do it. I'm looking forward to it.
Sequel
Gun
to this.
Fingers.
All right, everybody.
All right.
Stay safe and love each other.
See ya.
You know what? And that's a so yeah.
It's
so
mm-hmm.